Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, it is a Friday, which means we look back at the week in economics, and to help us to unpack what's been happening in and around the economy, we're joined by Professor Peter Bauer, who is from the School of Economics at the University of Johannesburg. Greetings to you, Prof.
Greetings to you, and thank you for inviting me today.
No. Thank you so much for being with us and taking your time on this day in what has been quite an interesting week in terms of some of the economic data that has come out. We recently saw Stats SA giving us some official figures around the second quarter contraction for South Africa. But this week there was another update that gave us some what would seem to be conflicting views, because on the one hand, we're saying that unemployment has come down, but at the same time, we're saying that over 2 million people have lost their jobs. Can you perhaps help us to unpack some of these issues, Prof?
Yes, absolutely. So internationally, there are certain standards we use when measuring the actual unemployment problem within countries. And this actually helps us to create better comparisons between countries. The two major definitions we use are your official definition and your expanded definition. Your official definition normally includes those people that have no work, are looking for work, and normally between the ages of 16 and 65. Now, what has happened is during the course of the lockdown, many people have not been able to go out and look for work. And so then technically now not registered as this official, under this official unemployment, because they have not registered themselves as looking for work. So they may actually be unemployed, but they, as they have not registered and as they are not looking for unemployment, not looking for employment opportunities, they are not more classified as unemployed. However, we have a second definition that actually helps us solve that particular problem. And so we simply say that if a person is between the ages of 16 and 65 and they have no job and they want a job, that should be sufficient to actually consider them as unemployed. So whether you have been looking for a job or not looking for a job, our expanded definition of unemployment now becomes a little bit more accurate. Some of the issues over time, what we've experienced is that many people have become despondent looking for work and are more really considered under the, shall we say, the official definition. And most governments around the world use the official definition because it actually looks better on paper. But the reality is the expanded definition is the more important of the two figures, because this has actually given us an idea how many people really are unemployed. So in the moment, if we're going to look at your official definition, we've dropped down from the first quarter into the second quarter from 30.1% to 23.3%. But if we were to take it a little bit further and actually look in the at the expanded definition, we've our unemployment figures have actually rocketed upwards to approximately 42%. Now, there are a number of colleagues out there and other economists out there who also believe that there's a high possibility that by early 2021, or at least by the end of 2020 to early parts of 2021, this figure could go even higher, probably coming closer to the 50% mark. The reality of this translates that for every one in two people in South Africa right now are unemployed, and the consequences of this are severe.
With that in mind, and especially given where things have gone, can you give us an idea of what the actual quantum of jobs lost has actually been during those two quarters?
Yes. Okay. So basically what we're experiencing is different sectors within the economy are experiencing different numbers of job losses. The most, of course, being reported being in social services, which had a huge number of job losses. And this is then obviously by followed by industries such as trade and then private households, et cetera, et cetera. So now if we were to try and understand the momentum behind this particular problem that we're experiencing, we have to go a little bit back to already 2018, 2019, where unemployment in itself during those periods of time were already quite high. And the economic growth that we've been experiencing during that period of time has also been relatively low. So it's not just about looking at unemployment in isolation. We cannot do that. But what we do is we look at the level of unemployment, but as a percentage, for example, of your, shall we say, our GDP and how the economy is growing. And unfortunately, during the course of last year, growth rates in South Africa have been very, very low. And coming into this year, we've actually seen that unemployment, the actual annual growth rate unemployment had dropped into the negative figures. Some figures reporting as high as a drop of negative 17.1% unemployment. Now, the reality means that in order to create jobs, we need economic growth. The more growth we have, the more work opportunities are being created. And of course, the lower the unemployment figures. With very high levels of negative growth in the economy, it means that we are not being able to absorb these people back into the economy. This, of course, is going to be coupled with a secondary problem. And please forgive me if I'm going on a little bit here, but the secondary problem is that many people who have lost their jobs may actually find themselves in a position where they're not going to be able to find new employment in the future. So we'll find that maybe a large number of unskilled people who are maybe slightly older may find it more difficult to get back into the labor force. You may find younger people even struggling, but a lot of people who are going to be losing their jobs may not find new work in the future. And that's going to put more pressure on social services within South Africa. It's going to put more pressure on our social security fund. And most importantly, it's going to put more pressure on households.
Prof, I just want to maybe get your thoughts because we've seen this massive rise in joblessness, across the country. And according to a lot of estimates, the growth outlook for the year is likely going to be negative if we're to take the numbers coming from the South African Reserve Bank, for example, seriously. So with that in mind, just given the fact that people are perhaps unemployed but still need to put food on the table, do you anticipate that we're likely to then see people considering alternative arrangements where they perhaps shy away from formal employment and maybe get into what some term as a gig economy or perhaps maybe even just informal trading?
Okay, the informal sector is a very big part of the South African economy and actually always has been. And so we will definitely see more pressure in the informal sector, but the informal sector doesn't mean criminal activity either. So an informal sector can be both legal and illegal, depending on which way it's going to go. So you may see people filing into the informal sector, and most countries in the world will rely on the fact that an informal sector is actually a safety blanket when the social security system is insufficient to actually step in and support those people. So yes, we are going to see a growth in the informal sector, and it may actually spur a whole growth of small businesses, micro industries taking off. The reality is the direct relationship between unemployment and crime rate is not necessarily something that we should, philosophically doesn't make sense. We can't say that all unemployed people are criminals because if high an increase in unemployment leads to a high increase in crime, does that mean that unemployed people are criminals? Which it obviously doesn't. So what we can say is that the informal sector will grow, but what that means for governments, for example, is that in terms of tax revenue and being able to control many of these industries becomes a lot more difficult. And of course, we've already seen what has happened in the past with the from the sale of illegal cigarettes during the lockdown and illegal alcohol sales, and obviously those kind of related industries have created all kinds of, shall we say, irregular informal markets that have been put into place. But on the other side, an informal growth of an informal sector might be just what we need right now. Everything from industries like your arts and crafts and your cultural sector, creating small items, home industries from baking to repairing motor cars, but there will be a large amount of tax revenue that government will not be able to actually collect.
And then just shifting perhaps the conversation to another set of data that's come out was manufacturing data. Can you give us some oversight of what's happening on that front?
Okay, so when we take a look at the actual growth in manufacturing in South Africa, it has actually in this latest quarter, it has dropped down considerably. There's been a huge, huge drop in manufacturing. This obviously ties up with the implications of what we've seen during the COVID period. So with the businesses being restricted, and global trade itself having actually slowed down for a period of time, a lot of our export goods have actually not really been able to get into the market. The consequences of not being able to participate in the global market means that many businesses have not been able to resume business as usual. So what we have seen is that many businesses have had to either downscale, and the chances of them upscaling again post-COVID, until they know that the economy is growing again, is going to be very low. So what we're going to see is that businesses aren't going to reinvest in their businesses until they are sure that the economy is actually starting to pick up again. So they may be working with smaller crews, or they may be reducing the level of output just enough for them to keep it going, but not enough for us to actually contribute meaningfully to the economy. Other factors in terms of our manufacturing, we have to look at the relationships between, for example, the United States and China. We are seeing also in the Middle East, and shall we say on the fringes of Europe, we are seeing a lot of military conflict and a lot of trade uncertainty, which is coming from that particular region at the same time. And this is also going to affect us. So, for example, the more trade pressure that Donald Trump puts onto China means that there will be less primary goods that we will be selling to China. But at the same time, if we take a look at some of the other indexes, like your dry bulk index, which is a good indicator of global economic recovery, we're also estimating that the global economy may actually start recovering at a faster rate than previously anticipated. So we are seeing that the global economy is starting to recover, and it would be wonderful if South Africa could actually go with that growth, because that would obviously pick up our industry, and that would create more job opportunities. What I'm concerned about right now is that if our lockdown has been too long, and if we haven't actually had the opportunity for our businesses to recover post-COVID, then we might not be able to take advantage of the global growth that we are actually going to be experiencing. And this may, of course, impact further on unemployment in South Africa.
Does that not make a case, perhaps, that South Africa should be trading maybe a bit more with some of the more landlocked countries on the continent, as opposed to what have now become riskier overseas markets?
Absolutely. Former President Thabo Mbeki had a vision where he was basically seeking an African solution for an African problem. And one of his dreams was to literally unite Africa in terms of creating a trade environment. And I think Africa does stand as for us as a market, but I think we will also see a shift in dynamics over the African continent. And as long as Africa contains within it a degree of instability, and we're not able to create some form of regional security on our resources, we are going to be seeing some countries actually continue to be plundered by the growing economies at the same time. So what my concern in that respect is, yes, we could be marketing to Africa, but the really big global players like your China, the United States of America, your European Union are so big, and they actually do fund a lot of our business operations. So if we could take advantage of the large, powerful economies, it's better opportunities for more rapid growth. Africa will experience growth, but the kind of growth and the nature of the growth may be sort of irregular. Bringing that to mind, one of the key points that we should be focusing on heavily is foreign direct investment and stimulating further investment into our economy. The challenge we have with bringing investment into our economy, especially if we want to bring investment into, for example, manufacturing and trade and infrastructure, is that we have we need to make sure that we create a more stable economic front, which means we're talking about stabilizing the rand to other currencies. We're talking about stabilizing political environment and political concerns. And then, of course, we talk about stabilizing relationships both within South Africa and with other countries.
Prof, the other sector that might be of interest to people, but I don't think we take enough time to maybe talk about it is the arts and the cultural sector. What do you make of what's been going on in there?
Absolutely. The arts and cultural sector is one of the more, shall we say, under-noticed industries in the country and has actually played a very big role both locally and internationally in bringing many small businesses through this particular crisis. There are a number of different industries within the arts and cultural sector. These could be anything from small manufacturers of, shall we say, cultural artifacts that we could sell in markets or trade to tourists, etc. And even with the reduction in tourism, there would still be markets that we could still trade these goods to. And of course, there was the impact it had on larger industries such as your music, your dance, theater, opera, and all of those very big cultural industries that created many jobs. Now, what we are actually seeing is that when we analyze the overall arts and cultural sector, we've noticed that while some industries have definitely experienced shall we say, a slowdown due to COVID, we've noticed that there has been a very large increase in the smaller micro industries at the same time. And so the actual arts and if I were to put everything together, the arts and cultural industry actually has been creating jobs and job opportunities and creating a growth center for us in South Africa. And this actually ties up or is very much relevant to what is we've seen in other countries. So for example, during the Brexit crisis in the United Kingdom, the arts and cultural sector was actually seeing elements of growth. And during really difficult times like America during the Great Depression between 1929 and 1933, we also saw similar growth within the arts and cultural sector. And so I think a lot more emphasis needs to be made on investing into our arts and cultural sector. It too has both a large formal and an informal sector, but our artists really need to be supported. The main reason is South Africa is very rich in art and culture. South Africa has a very rich history, and we really, really do have a very beautiful continent, one which we can capitalize from tourism. And other industries that are related to this. So I really do believe that our art and cultural sector is something in which we need to capitalize on in order to drive our economy forward again in a very big way.
Prof, I like the fact that you are making, this case for the arts and cultural sector. As you said, it's one of those that's hardly, spoken about, but it does sound as if, and I guess anecdotally, it does look as if it's one of those sectors that does employ a lot of people or has a lot of activity around it. Why do you think there isn't, I guess, more, sort of being done to support it? Why do we, quote unquote, look down on it if it's such a big part of, I guess, everyday South African life?
Yes. Basically, through the University of Johannesburg, we actually formed a research unit with the AXA Arts and Cultural Trust. And looking at the industry, if we take a look at, for example, the way in which we've structured it, arts and culture fall under sports, recreation, arts and culture. And the sports sector has generated a huge return for many industries and receives a vast amount of sponsorship by big industries. But it's the arts sector itself that doesn't within South Africa, and this is really unfortunate, that we ourselves have not invested sufficient amounts into these particular sectors. We have dancers out there, we have singers, we have musicians, and we have artists of all different kinds of caliber, and these people are supporting themselves through this industry. And I really do believe that even though our government does recognize that the arts and cultural sector is important, I do believe that a lot more can be done in order to drive this particular sector forward. And that is becoming, part of our University of Johannesburg. We really do believe that we can find opportunities there and do research into this field because that is where your innovation lies, that is where your economic growth lies, at your seed of growth comes from that particular sector.
And then lastly, as we come to the end of the discussion, what do you make of, I guess, the state of the economy? We started off talking about what unemployment is looking like and then getting into manufacturing. But I guess going forward, what do you make of the cocktail of different factors that are playing on the South African economy right now? We've recently moved to level one, and at the same time, tourism might start to pick up. The South African Reserve Bank says that it's unlikely to lower interest rates any further. The rand has kind of stabilized, but sort of as an overview, where do you see our economy at the moment?
Yes, I actually understand the Reserve Bank most likely will not lower the rates, the interest rates, predominantly because it attracts a large amount of capital flows into the South African economy, which we so desperately need to offset a lot of the money that we are losing, basically importing goods that we don't manufacture ourselves. But at the same time, I think also the tourism industry is going to start growing, but I think it's going to be a very slow growth. And the biggest reason is that many countries international are rating different countries between low risk and high risk countries. So a tourist may be able to go and travel to another country, but the risk a tourist faces is if that country now goes through a change in rating, for example, they'd be considered a high risk country, then that tourist may find it more difficult to get back home. And so what we are seeing is that tourism will start picking up, but I think it's going to be very, very slow. Even if you compare us with, for example, the European Union, and if you take a look within the Union, just so we say tourism flows between those individual countries, it itself is incredibly low, which is impacting severely on everything from their arts and their restaurant and entertainment industries and others. So we're also going to experience this, I think, but South Africa's tourism industry plays a very big role. In terms of creating job opportunities within the country and obviously stimulating growth there too. So I think a big part of that is really important to stimulate tourism. Other factors that we need to look at in the moment, apart in order to motivate for high levels of foreign direct investment, may be to further may take measures against corruption. And I think the latest steps have actually been positive in the sense that we're making strides to say, look, we are serious about corruption, and we are not going to tolerate that anymore. And then in terms of our actual businesses and our people, I think there's a lot of potential for economic growth in the future. And I really do think that we should not underrate how amazing this country really is.
So that's been us with Professor Peter Bauer, who is from the School of Economics at the University of Johannesburg, giving us some insight into what's been going on in this week in the economy, particularly around the unemployment figures that recently came out looking very dire. The expanded definition leading us to a position where we've lost more than 2 million jobs, and that number is now sitting at around 42% unemployment, also explaining to us the different definitions that people do use, and then also talking about how some of this activity might lead more people to start their own micro businesses just as a way to support themselves. Also touching on the manufacturing data together with what's going on in the arts and cultural sector, and then ending off just talking about the actual state of the economy as we move forward in level one. Are we going to have a resurgence in tourism? What's actually going to happen with some of the more impacted sectors since the lockdown? So thank you so much to Prof. Bauer for joining us.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Very fascinating discussion with Professor Bauer from UJ just around what's going on in the economy. And the unemployment figures that came out this week and this sort of issue around the definitions of, the expanded versus the narrow, who's seeking employment versus who isn't. I remember a few months ago talking about the fact that COVID-19 and the subsequent lockdowns and the quote unquote new normal that we find ourselves in would be a good opportunity for the economics fraternity to perhaps shift, change, or adjust the way that they measure certain economic indicators. And I think unemployment and the way that it's been reported this time around for the second quarter is a good example of that, because officially we're saying that unemployment has come down by seven percentage points, which would be a great point of celebration normally, but we know that that isn't really the case. You're using these sort of outdated definitions and indicators that normally, you know, that take a certain use case into account. These are not normal times, and as such, we need to adjust the way that we adjust these things. And for once, the case for the expanded definition really comes to the fore, because we really get to see what the actual situation is. Because if someone was to just look at the normal figure and look at it coming down, then they would say that things are going well in the country, yet we know that millions of jobs have been lost. So once again, COVID-19, this is a good time for people in economics and business and commerce to rethink how they measure certain things, right? We can't continue using the same measures that we've had for decades to deal with a situation that has not arisen, you know, in maybe even like a century, because the last big global pandemic, for example, if my history serves me well, was the Spanish flu of the 1910s. And that was such a long time ago. And for us to still be using some of these outdated measures, something really does need to be done. So going forward, let's see what the educated men and women of the economics fraternity decide to do. But once again, this would be a good moment in time to, you know, relook at some of these things, maybe revisit the textbooks, curriculums, and let's find new ways of measuring what's going on in the economy. You remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the Podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Modiehi Mashamaete. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.